Tonight's shiur is dedicated, as all of the shiurim this year, Lezecha Nishmas, Reb Chaim and Reb Avram, Mr. Hayu Abisfeld, who passed away a few months ago. We started this year with Hilchos Shabbos. We started with the Dinim of Chola, and we'll continue with Siman Reish Mem Gimel. Reish Mem Gimel talks about Amira LeNochri. So there is an interesting Rashi in the first perek in Maseches Avodah Zarah, where Rashi writes, Amira LeNochri is forbidden because the Pasuk says in Yeshaya, Nimtzoch HaFotzech V'daber Dover. Shelo Yehei Dibucha Shal Shabbos Ki Dibucha Shal Chol. On Shabbos, not only are you not allowed to do a malacha, you're not allowed to talk about doing a malacha. So if I ask a Nochri to turn on the light for me, I'm talking about doing a malacha. You're not allowed to daber Dover, you're not allowed to talk about doing a malacha. So the Ur Zeruah is one of the later Balei HaTosfos. The Ur Zeruah was the Rebbe of the Maharam Rutenberg, who was the Rebbe of the Rosh and the Mordechai. That was the end of the period of Balei HaTosfos. It was a long period. So the Ur Zeruah quotes this Rashi, and he raises an issue, according to Rashi, that the prohibition of Amira LeNochri on Shabbos is because of Daber Dover. So it should only be prohibited if I ask the Goy on Shabbos. What if I ask the Goy on Erev Shabbos? Please come into my house and turn on the light and mow the lawn and do all the malach, take me up in the elevator. I do all of the talking on Erev Shabbos. So then it should be mutter. You're not in violation of Daber Dover. So the Ur Zeruah proves, this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, the Ur Zeruah proves from Mishnayos and Gemaris that Amira LeNochri is aser even if you do the Amira on Erev Shabbos. It's still aser. There are two Isurim. There's one Isur because of Daber Dover. You're not allowed to talk about a malach, and there's another Isur, the Baal HaTanya has this in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, that is Mishum Yesh Shlichus La'akom L'chumra. Even though Ein Shlich L'dvar Aveira, and Ein Shlichus La'akom, the two reasons why, if I ask a guy to do a malach for me, shouldn't relate to me, Ein Shlichus La'akom, and Ein Shlich L'dvar Aveira. So amid the Rabbanim, they prohibited even Yesh Shlichus La'akom L'chumra, and Yesh Shlichus L'dvar Aveira. The Nesivas, the Poskim talk about the Shitas Beishamai, Shamai Hazokin, as they're of the opinion that Yeshaliach Ledvar Aver. If I pay a gangster to murder someone else, that I get the death penalty. Shamai Hazokin holds that Yeshaliach Ledvar Aver. So would Shamai Hazokin hold that Amir Eliakum is an Issa Deraisa on Shabbos? It can't be. We said Amir Eliakum is an Issa Deraisa if the Nochri is a Ger Toshav. That's what we spoke about last week or 2 weeks ago. We usually have a klal called the Tikkun Rabbanan. Okay, deraisa Tikkun, all the dinim derabbanan, a pattern after dinim deraisa. So what din deraisa is Amira LeNochri pattern after. So we said, the pasuk in Aseres Adibra says, L'sasa kol malacha ato bimcha bitecha v'gercha shebisharecha. What does it mean, bimcha bitecha? So Rashi says, ktanim. If the children are after bar mitzvah, they're included in ato. Ata doesn't only apply to the people who are standing on Har Sinai, listening to the proclamation of the Aseres Adibros. All the people passed by mitzvah thousands of years later, we're 3,000 years after Maimon Har Sinai, we're included in Ata. So Bincha Bitecha should also be included in Ata. Why they mentioned separately? So Rashi and Chumash quotes from the Mechilta, Bincha Bitecha Aktanim, before Bar Mitzvah, that if I get my young child before Bar Mitzvah to do a malach on my behalf on Shabbos, that's an Issa Deraisa. That's an Aseres Adibros, Bincha Bitecha. Mishkanes Yankif was a rabbi in Karlin, Rabbi Yankele Karlina. He was a misnagid, and he had to do with the Stalin HaChassidim, Stalin Karlin, are twin cities. He just walked 15 minutes. You walk from one to the other, like Teaneck and Bergenfield. There are a lot of cities like that. So he had a sechsuchim with the chassidim there. So he has several of the tshuvas in the Mishkanes Yankiv are specifically to attack certain practices that the chassidim had. So he has a whole tshuva about this, that many of the chassidim and non-chassidim also, but especially by chassidim, they had a practice that they would ask their child before bar mitzvah to carry the talis with the siddur for them, to bring it to shul on Shabbos, where there was no erev, on the assumption that there's nothing wrong. So the Mishkanes Yankiv says it's a violation of the Pasuk and Aseres Adibros. So that Pasuk says, the Gercha Shebisharecha. So that's the same question that Tanoim asks. Gercha Shebisharecha if he's a ger tzedek, if he's a convert, so he's included in Atta. Anyone who's Jewish and after bar mitzvah is included in Atta, even though he wasn't there by Mamon Hasina, but he's included in Atta. So the answer is ger chadashah b'sharach means a ger toshav. He's a non-Jew, but he accepted, he committed himself, he accepted upon himself in the presence of a bezin of three Jewish people to observe the seven mitzvahs of Bnei Noach. So what does the pasuk mean that a ger toshav has to observe Shabbos? So the Tanoim work on that. What does it mean? So the first Tana says, yeah, the ger toshav has to observe Shabbos, but he's not allowed to observe Shabbos. The pasuk says in the end of Parshas Noach, Yom Valayla lo yishbosu, a nochri is not permitted to observe Shabbos. So the first Tana in the Gemara increases, Daf Tes Amud Aleph says, a nochri is not permitted to observe Shabbos like we observe Shabbos, but he observes Shabbos the way we observe Yontif, that's not a violation. Second Tana says, no, if he observes Shabbos the way we observe Yontif, it's also a violation. It means the Ger Toshav has to observe Shabbos the way we observe Chol HaMoed. Malachas Chol HaMoed is deraisa, but it's even less than Yontif. Yontif is less than Shabbos, and Chol HaMoed is less than Yontif. So the Ger Toshav is obligated to observe Shabbos the way we observe Chol HaMoed. Why is the Ger Toshav obligated to observe Shabbos from all the 613 mitzvahs? He only has seven mitzvahs ben enoch. He only committed himself to observe Sheva mitzvahs ben enoch. Where did it come from that has to observe Shabbos in a lighter form? First Tana says he has to observe Shabbos like we observe Yontov. The second Tana says he has to observe Shabbos the way we observe Chol HaMoed. So the Avnei Nezer has a tshuva. So he explains the first two opinions. What is the Ger Toshav mekabel on himself? What is he accepting? He's accepting to observe Sheva mitzvahs. He's obligated to observe Sheva mitzvahs even if he doesn't accept it. So what is the Kabbalah all about? So he says the first two Tanaim hold that he's obligated to observe the Sheva mitzvahs in a more enhanced form. He has to observe the Sheva mitzvahs with all the Abiz Raihus, with all the details related to the Sheva mitzvahs. So the Gemara tells us in Chulin Daf Hei that a Mechal HaShabbos Befrahesia is considered Ko'evit Avodah Zarah. Why? So Rashi explains, one who observes Shabbos is demonstrating and testifying that he believes in the story of creation. If you believe that God, there is a God and God created the world and he rested on Shabbos, so then you're going to observe all the mitzvahs HaTeres. So observing Shabbos is an enhancement of the mitzvah, not the worship of Avodah Zarah. The main din of the Sheva, the first din of the Sheva mitzvah is not to worship Avodah Zarah. So not to worship Avodah Zarah means to believe in God, to believe in one God, and that God created the world. So the Ger Toshav is obligated to observe this Isra Avodah Zarah in a more enhanced form. He has to observe Shabbos. The Gemara says we don't accept the first two opinions of the Tanna. We accept the third Tanna. Third Tanna is Reb Shimon. That's Reb Shimon by Yechoi. We accept the sheet of the third Tanna. Third Tanna says he observed Shabbos Kisrael Bechol. No, the Pasuk in the end of Parshas Noach says he's not allowed to observe Shabbos at all. So what does the Pasuk mean? So the Gemara doesn't explain. According to Reb Shimon, whose opinion has been accepted, the Ger Toshav does not observe Shabbos at all. Not Kechol, he doesn't observe Shabbos at all. So what does it mean? So the Gemara never explains it. So the Tosfos in Yevamos, in the Sugya of Geiris, we learned a little bit those sugyas. So the Tosfos and Yevamos around Mem Vav on the base, Mem Zayin on the base. So Tosfos explains what it means. Ger Chashav B'Sherecha is like Bincha Bitecha. Bincha Bitecha is an Issa Deraisa. I'm not allowed to have my child do a malach on my behalf. If I ask someone else's child to do a malach on my behalf, that's not an Issa Deraisa. The Issa in the Pasuk is Bincha Bitecha. If I ask my child before Bar Mitzvah to do a malach, to carry the talis for me, so that's my Issa. So Ger Chashav B'Sherecha means Amira LeGer Toshav. If the Jew requests of the Ger Toshav should do Malacha for him, that's an Issa Deraisa. That's what the Pasuk means. So now we understand very well. Called the Tikkun Rabbanan came, the Raisa Tikkun. The Chachamim wanted to prohibit Amira LeYakim, but it has to be patterned after some Din Deraisa. So this pattern is patterned after the Din of Amira LeGer Toshav. There is a din deraisa, you're not permitted to ask a ger toshav to do malacha for you. That's an isa deraisa and aseres hadibros. So the rabbanon, they broadened it out and they said that amira le'akum applies to any akum at all. So there would really be a difference. We have a list of kulas. We mentioned that Teferis Yisrael, our Mishnayis, in the beginning of Masechus Shabbos, beginning of Chelek Moed, has a long kuntres that's called Kalkelas HaShabbos. He goes through all of the Lamates Melochas, and he quotes all the Gemaras and all the Rambams and all the Magen Avrams and Shulchan Aruch and the Machzis HaShekels and the Dinim Derais and the Dinim Derabbanan, and he organizes everything according to the Lamates Melochas. Let's say under Ksiva, he'll include Mekir Hamemka, he'll include all the Dinim Derabbanan. Under Hoitzor, he'll include Muktzim. So he has this whole Kalkelas HaShabbos. We, and the Mishnah Berurah will quote every so often from the Kalkelas HaShabbos. He has the original Chidushim. He gives his opinion about the issues that Achreidim had a machlek is about. At the end of the Kalkelas HaShabbos, he has a whole kuntris, separate kuntris about Mukta. Then he has a separate kuntris about Amir Eliakim. So he gives you a full list of all of the kulas that we have in Amir Eliakim, because Amir Eliakim is only mid the Rabbanon by a regular Akum. So that's why we have a whole list of kulas. If it would be Amir Leger Toshav, then there wouldn't be any kulas at all. Amir Leger Toshav is an Issa Deraisa. He can only be Mekom when there's a suffix Sakonis Defoshis or Vadei Sakonis Defoshis. But because Amir Eliakim was not a Ger Toshav, it's only the Rabbanon, we don't have any Ger Toshav Bisman. The Gemara says in the end of Perek Azov, Ger Toshav is only Noig Bisman Shahayoival Noig, based on Psukim. Bisman is that we don't observe Yoival, so you can't have a Ger Toshav. So we only have Amir Eliakim Derabbanim. So Amir Eliakim, you have a whole list of kulas. One kula is Makam Chalu She'em V'Sakona. Let's say Tzorche Hatinuk. We discussed when we learned Shin Chavches. If you have a young child who doesn't feel well, so you're permitted to ask a Nochri to drive him to the doctor, to drive him to the hospital on Shabbos. Even though driving a car on Shabbos is probably a Malocha Deraisa, Amir Eliakim on a Malocha Deraisa is Mutter on behalf of a Chalu She'em V'Sakona. What else is muta b'makam atzolos kisvi hakodesh? If there's a dleiko, there's a fire in shul, and the Sifrei Torah are going to get burned, so he permitted to ask Hanochri to carry the Sifrei Torah for atzolos kisvi hakodesh, we allow. What else? For buying up Eretz Yisrael from the Nochrim. The Gemara says, Mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael hitiru. The Gemara says, Hakoina sada b'Surya, if someone buys a field from a Nochri, Surya has Kedusha Sa'aretz Midirabbanan. The Ben HaMelech was Kodesh Surya Aram Tzova. The Gemara says it was only Kibush Yochid, it wasn't Kibush Rabban, so it's only Eretz Yisrael Midirabbanan. But nonetheless, it's a mitzvah of Yishud Eretz, so to buy it up from the Goyim, shouldn't be in Goyish hands. So the Gemara says, once in a while, that could happen in recent years, when Rav Kook was the chief rabbi, once the Arabs in a certain Arab village were auctioning off, someone was selling a big piece of land, and the only time you could buy it was on Yom Kippur. So the man who was representing, the Jewish man who was representing the Jewish agency, asked Rav Kook, they have it written up in the biographies of Rav Kook, is he allowed to go on Yom Kippur in order to buy it? So he said he should stay Toch HaTchum, and he shouldn't buy Lake Trumen. And he makes sure that when they drive you in the car, when the guy drives you in the car, you shouldn't go through Jewish communities, because the car is going to say, is going to have an emblem on it, and the people are going to think that he's a sheikitz. What's he driving on Yom Kippur? And he's allowed to bid, and he's allowed to buy it, and he should get the guy to write everything. Amir al-Nachri is mutter. That's the Gemara. Kosev malav ono, afilu b'shabbos ha'idei Nachri, because Amir al-Nachri is only with the Rabbanon, so we allow it. So the Gemara has a whole list. Mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael Hitiru. What else are we makel? Mishum Mitzvah Derabim. For many years, the shuls didn't have a Shabbos clock. So they would have the guy turn off the lights on Friday night when everybody went home. They don't have the Nochri turn on the lights on Shabbos morning. Then after Musaf, the Nochri would turn off the lights. The super would turn off the lights and everything. So we assume that's Mishum Mitzvah Derabim, to save the tzibur money. If you're going to have all the lights and a big shul burning all day long, it's going to cost an extra hefsed mamon for the community. And having the whole tzibur daven tefillah b'tzibur is a mitzvah derabim. Shem mitzvah derabim hitiru. That's the kula. Yeah, mitzvah derabim. Whose kula is that? Mitzvah derabim hitiru. The Chayyadam has that. Mishnah Berurah quotes it in the Chayyadam. He says if the erev broke, and you will not be able to notify all the people in the city. Some people are going to be carrying, not realizing that the Arab broke. You realize that it broke. So what can you do? So you're permitted to ask a Nochri to drive his truck and to climb up and to bang nails and to tie knots and to cut things, to do a whole bunch of malachas deraisa, because for sure many people will be Mechallel Shabbos b'shogeg. They won't realize that the Erev broke, that they're not allowed to carry. So that's what the Chayodim came up with, that Kula. The Ramah quotes the Kula from the Baluiter. Baluiter was one of the Balei HaTosfos. The Rambir Lenachri is Mutar b'Makom Mitzvah, any mitzvah. So the Ramah recommends you shouldn't, he says many people follow that Kula of the Baluiter, but he recommends you shouldn't follow it because it's really not the generally accepted opinion. We don't hold like that. We only allow shvuz to shvuz b'makom mitzvah. Amira l'nochri ana derabanan, we allow. And that's based on a Gemara in Erevin. The Gemara tells a story, Hahuyanuke, there was a baby boy was born on Shabbos, and the bris was scheduled for the next Shabbos. Mila b'zman is decha Shabbos, on the eighth day. So b'zman ha-Gemara, they considered it a suffix hakana to perform a bris mila without bathing the baby with warm water before and after the bris to prevent infection. So they had prepared hot water. They had a kettle of hot water. So what happened was, all the hot water that they prepared to wash the baby with before and after the bris, all the water spilled out. So the water spilled out before they even started the bris. So you can't do the bris because it's a suffix hakana. So are you permitted to ask a goy to heat up water? You're not allowed to. Amir al-Nachri is not allowed even by Makom Mitzvah. He's even the Gemara against the Baluita. You're not allowed to ask a goy to heat up water. So what they did was, the other people had a kettle of hot water. This family had a kettle that had hot water that they were going to use for the bris. So all of their water spilled out. Other people had water to drink coffee, to drink tea, whatever they were going to use the hot water for. But there was no Erev over there. It was a Chotzer She'enim U'Rebis. Chotzer She'enim U'Rebis means it's a Rishus HaYochid, but they didn't make the Eruvi Chatzeris. They didn't put away the box of matzahs. That's on Bishut was by everybody. So it's only forbidden mid the Rabbanon to carry in a Chotzer She'enim U'Rebis. On the level of the Raisa, such a concept doesn't exist. A Rishus HaYochid has an Issa Tilto. Any area that's Mukaf Mechitzas, even City Hall, that belongs to the municipality, that's not a Rishus HaRabim. It's Mukam Mechitza, so it's a Rishus HaYochid. In order to be a Rishus HaRabim, the streets have to be owned by the municipality. If a private person owns a whole city, that's not a Rishus HaRabim. But in order to be a Rishus HaYochid, there is no such thing that it has to be owned by a private person. City Hall belongs to the municipality, and it's still a Rishus HaYochid. A hospital, also, it's a Rishus HaYochid. Has walls around it. A building, anything inside the building is all the Rishus HaYochid. So if you have an apartment building and many different people live in the different apartments, so in the Torah, everything is all one big Rishus HaYochid. You're permitted to carry from one to the other. And the Gemara says in the beginning of the second parak in Erevin, Shlomo HaMelech made a takana that you're not allowed to carry from Beis Shel Reuben to Beis Shel Shimon. You're not allowed to carry from Beis Shel Reuben to the hallway, which really Reuven and Shimon have the right to use. You need an Eruv Chatzeris to carry, even though Minatar it's a Rishus HaYochid, Midrabban it's a Rishus HaYochid with an Issa Tiltal. The concept doesn't exist on the level of the Aris of Rishus HaYochid with an Issa Tiltal. It's a contradiction in terms. But Midrabban, that was Takana Shleim HaMelech. So that's what it was here. In the story in the Gemara in Erevin, they asked the Nochri to carry hot water from a different Rishus HaYochid to this Rishus HaYochid. They weren't even walking in a Carmelis. They didn't even carry in a Carmelis because it was only the Rabbanan. Amir l'Nachri is only the Rabbanan, and to carry in a Chotzer She'enim U'Rebis is only the Rabbanan. So that's the din, Shvus to Shvus, but Makom Mitzvah is Mutter. So Tosfos in Gittin, Daf Chesam and Beis, has a Safek, is Shvus to Shvus, but Makom Mitzvah only Mutter, but Makom Mitzvah is Mila, or is it Mutter by all Mitzvahs? So in Shulchan Aruch, they quote the two opinions in Tosfos, and they accepted, the Achrayim say, the accepted opinion is that Shvus to Shvus is Mutter, and any Makom Mitzvah. So that's one of the kulas of Amir Eliyakum. Amir Eliyakum, the Makom Mitzvah, if it's a Shvus to Shvus, if it's a double the Rabbanim. So we have the whole list of kulas by Amir Eliyakum is based on the assumption that Amir Eliyakum is only the Rabbanim. If it would have been a Ger Toshav, not an Akum, but it would have been a Ger Toshav, you wouldn't have all these kulas. Yeah. Where did the Chayyadim get this Einfall that Amir Eliyakim should be Mutter B'Makom Mitzvah Derabim? If the Erev fell down, you're afraid many people will be Mechallel Shabbos. Where do you get it from? So there's an interesting Ramban, the Mishnah Berurah quotes this Ramban, the Chiddush HaRamban towards the end of Masechah Shabbos, where you have the Dinim appear in the Mishnayos about Amir Leakum throughout the Masechta. It appears in Beitza and it appears in Shabbos, scattered about all over the place. Shulchan Aruch also has it scattered about. It has it first in Resh Mem Gimel and Resh Mem Dalet and Resh Mem Hey. You have a few Resh Mem Vav, Resh Mem Zayin, a whole bunch of simonim. You have a lot about Amir Eliakim. So when the Ramban quotes that Gemara in Gittin Daf Chesam Beis that Amir Eliakim is mutter Mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael to buy up the land from the Nochrim Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So the Ramban paraphrases the Gemara and he says it's a mitzvah derabim. So it sounds a little bit as if the Chayyadim doesn't quote the Ramban. Maybe he didn't have the Ramban. The Ramban was printed by Rabbi Zalman Meltzer. They only had Kisvei Yad, the days of the Chayyadim. So it could be that it could be a mocker for that idea that the Chayyadim came up with, that Amir Eliakim should be mutter, the makam mitzvah derabim. So again, so the Arzorua raised the question, based on the comment that Rashi makes in the first parak in Avodah Zarah, that Amir Eliakim is forbidden because of Dabe Dover, it should come out that if he did all the Amira to the Akam on Erev Shabbos, everything should be mutter. He shows from the Mishnahs, when the Gemara says it's not so. Even if you do the Amir Eliakim on Erev Shabbos, they're lost. So he says, the answer is there are two prohibitions. One is Dabe Dover, Shalai Yehei Dibuch al Shal Shabbos Ki Dibuch al Shalai, not allowed to talk about Malacha on Shabbos. And number two, even if I ask the Nochri on Erev Shabbos, we say, like the Balatanya writes a Loshen, Yesh Lichas La'akum L'chumre. So when the Nochri does the Malacha, it's considered as if I did the Malacha. So if I ask the Goy on Erev Shabbos to please turn on the lights, please turn off the lights, that's Shlichas La'akum L'chumre. If I ask a Goy on Shabbos, can you please come at Tzoy Shabbos and fix my automobile? My automobile doesn't work. Could you please come and fix it? So you're not allowed to do that either, because that's Dabe Dover. It's not Shlichus Lakam L'chum, because he's not going to do the Malacha till Mitzoy Shabbos. But the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Mishnah. There's a Mishnah towards the end of Shabbos. If I ask the auto mechanic, I'm walking home from Shul, and I ask the auto mechanic, John, do you think he can come over tonight? What do you think, what for Malava Malka? He doesn't have Malava, he's not Jew, he's not going to come for Malava Malka. It means, can you come over to fix my car? That's what I mean, but I didn't say it. So the Gemara says, Dabe Dobe only Diborasa Hira Mutter. If I'm thinking about doing a Malacha, that's Mutter. It's only also if I say it explicitly. So if I say, John, do you think he can come over tonight? The implication is, can you come over tonight to fix the automobile? That's the implication, but he didn't say it explicitly. So he's not in violation of Dabe Dover, nor is he in violation of Yesh Lichus Lakam L'chumra, because the Nochri is not going to do the Malacha on Shabbos. He's going to do it B'chol. So he violated neither. He didn't violate either of the prohibitions. So whenever you want to do an Amir Eliakim, you have to judge based on both considerations. The Gemara talks about Dabe Dover. You're not allowed to talk about a Malacha. Let's say I'm talking to my wife. I say, on Shabbos, I say, tomorrow I'll drive to Philadelphia. You're not allowed to say, I'm going to drive. That's Dabe Dover. If I say, tomorrow I'll go to Philadelphia, I plan to go to Philadelphia, so Philadelphia is probably Chutz L'Tchum. It could be, there's a chance, it could be they have so many houses on the highway, it could be that it's not Chutz L'Tchum. There's a far-out possibility. I don't know. But the Pashtus is, in the days of the Gemara, they didn't have so many houses on the highway. So if the fella says, I'm going to drive to Philadelphia tomorrow, he says that on Shabbos he's in violation of Dabe Dover. If he says, I plan to go to Philadelphia tomorrow, that per se is not a violation of Dabe Dover. I said, I'm going to go Chutz L'Tchum. Philadelphia is Chutz L'Tchum. Since theoretically there could have been Burgenen, there could have been houses all the way on the highway, even though it's 200 miles away. You know, Philadelphia is 200 miles away. I think it's 200 miles away from New York. But still, if there theoretically would be a house every 70 Amos, then the Tchum Shabbos would extend. So just saying, I'm going to go to Philadelphia tomorrow, that per se is not, if he says, I'm going to go to Europe tomorrow, there's no way to walk to Europe. Europe clearly is chutz l'tchum. So then he says, I'm going to go chutz l'tchum. So that is not allowed to say. But if he says, I'm going to go to Florida tomorrow, since theoretically there could have been Bergen and there could have been Holmes all the way connecting New York to Florida. So just per se, that per se says, I'm going to go to Florida, I'm going to go to Philadelphia tomorrow. That per se is not a violation of Dabba Dabba. It'll be a violation. Dabba Dabba says, I'm going to drive to Philadelphia. That'll be Dabba Dabba. That'll be a violation. So these are the two dinim of Amir Ali Akum. You have to be careful from the both dinim. Dabba Dabba, even if there's no Nachri. I say, I'm going to do a malacha tomorrow. You're not allowed to say, I plan to do a malacha tomorrow. That's the Issa, Dabba Dabba, and the Issa Yesh Lichas La'akum L'chumra. The Gemara says we have a kula in Amir Eliakum. If it's Adaita Dinafshe, then there's no prohibition of Amir Eliakum. So in Shulchan Aruch, they spell out Adaita Dinafshe, what does it mean? So we all know if you bring your clothes into the cleaner, you bring the shirt into the laundry, so if you bring it in before Shabbos and you didn't tell them to do it on Shabbos, they can do it on Thursday, on Friday, on Monday, Sunday, whenever they want. I'm going to pick it up next week sometime. I didn't tell them they have to do it on Shabbos. So if I didn't instruct them when they should do it, they choose they want to do it on Shabbos. That's called Adaita Dinafshe. Then there's another leniency, another kula Adaita Dinafshe, another case. Let's say I have a maid, and after we finish eating, I ask the maid, can you please wash the dishes? So theoretically, she can wash the dishes with cold water. But it's going to be harder if you have grease on the dishes and it's going to be cold water. So the hands are going to be cold and it's going to be harder to get all the grease off. If you use hot water, so you're causing more hot water to get cooked. That's a problem of Bishul. If you take hot water, you're causing more hot water to get cooked. So Amir Eliakum is only prohibited if I ask the guy to do a malocha. If I asked the guy to wash the dishes, theoretically, the Nochris could have washed the dishes with cold water, and she chooses on her own to use the hot water to make it easier for herself. So that's Adaita Dinafshe. So these are two different kinds of Adaita Dinafshe. But let's say a lot of times you have in a hotel. So the help in the kitchen is all Nochrim. They have Yisraelim to make sure that it's not Bishal Akum, to make sure that nobody mixes up the Fleshiks with the Milchiks. But many of the workers are Nochrim there. So let's say people order meat. So the balabas in the hotel asks the Nochrim, can you please slice the meat thinly? He doesn't want to give everybody a big fat piece of meat. It'll be too expensive. He says, slice the meat. So they have an electric slicer. So to use the electric slicer, we assume is a malacha makaba patish midirabbanan, to plug in the slicer makaba. But I didn't ask him to use the slicer. I said, theoretically they could slice the meat with a knife. It'll take longer. It'll be much easier if they use the electric slicer. So that adaita dinafshe is mutar even a beis shel Yisrael. I asked the maid, can you please wash the dishes? As far as I'm concerned, she can wash the dishes with cold water. I didn't ask her to use hot water. She wants to use hot water, Adaita Dinafshe. It should be easier for her. It should take less time. So that Adaita Dinafshe, that's even Muta Bebeisu Shel Yisrael. She's using the electric slicer in my kitchen. Or she's using the hot water in my kitchen to wash the dishes. But if I asked, I remember many years ago, 10, 15 years ago, we spent a week in South Africa. Every summer, the Rabbonim in South Africa have a conference. So every year, they invite someone else. So they once invited me to come for a whole week. It was very entertaining, very interesting. I spoke a lot in learning with the Rabbonim, a lot of shilas. They have all the same shilas that we have in America. So I remember the balabas that we ate, one of the meals on Shabbos, had a maid. And the maid was doing the laundry in the washing machine in the kitchen. We were sitting and eating in the dining room, and she's washing the clothes in the kitchen, the clothes from all week long, everybody's underwear and all the shirts and everything. So that kind of Adaita Dinafshe, the balabasta didn't tell her to do the clothing, to wash the clothing on Shabbos. She said, please wash the clothing when you have a chance. So the maid, if the maid would have the washing machine in the basement and that's where her room is. Or the maid would have the maid slept in a different building, and she would wash the clothes over there. Maybe that's Bebeis and Shal Nochri. But here it's Mamish Bebeis and Shal Yisrael was sitting and eating the Shabbos Dikin meal. The maid is washing the clothing there. So that's not permissible. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Adaita did nafshi, that the Nochri can do the Malacha whenever he wants. I bring in my automobile to the auto mechanic, and I say, I need it on Tuesday. I bring it in on Thursday. You can fix him whatever he wants. He's going to fix it on Shabbos. I didn't ask him to fix it on Shabbos. So that's permissible, even if he does the Malach on Shabbos. That's Adaita the Napshe. That's Bebeis HaShalakim. Then it says in Shulchan Aruch, even Bebeis HaShalakim, that it's Mutter. What if I have, let's say, the Lubavitcher fellow has a big menorah on top of his car, Hanukkah time, and his car is in the automobile in the mechanic's place, and they're fixing his car on Shabbos. So everybody sees that's the car from the Lubavitcher Shaliach, or there's a car in the auto by the auto mechanic that's being fixed on Shabbos, and the license plate says YU1 or YU2. So it obviously belongs to somebody high in the administration of YU, either number one or number two, whatever it happens to be. So that's not permissible. Even though it's a daita de nafshe, the Nochri is doing the malacha whenever he wants. I didn't ask him to do it on Shabbos, but just like the Beis Shal Yisrael, you're not allowed to. So the Beis Shal Akam, but if it's a dova mefursam that he's doing it for the Jew, also you're not allowed to. Let's say the Jew leaves his talis by the cleaner, that the cleaner should clean the talis, and then the people are walking by in the street, they see the goy is cleaning the talis on Shabbos in front of everybody. So that's not permissible. If he's doing your shirt or your suit or your trousers, nobody knows whose suit it is. But if it's a kapote, and it obviously belongs to a Hasidish Jew, or it's a talis, obviously belongs to a Jew, then it's not permissible. If it's b'deis or shalakum, but it's b'farhesya, it's obvious that a shal yisur, that you're not allowed to do. So these are some of the dinim of Amira Liyakum. There is a din that is sorely misunderstood. There's a din of Schar Shabbos. You're not permitted, let's say, the Gemara gives an example, I'm a babysitter. A girl is a babysitter. So she gets paid by the hour. So she babysits on Shabbos. She's not doing any malacha. She's babysitting on Shabbos. The parents want to relax a little bit. So whatever, they go to sleep and they have the babysitter watch. Are they going away somewhere? They're going to go visit their friends on Shabbos, and they want a babysitter to watch the babies. So a babysitter gets paid, so you're not allowed to get paid Schar Shabbos. So the Gemara has a din that Schar Shabbos behavloa is mutter. What does it mean, Schar Shabbos behavloa? If the babysitter gets paid by the hour, but they only pay her at the end of the week, whatever, every Tuesday night they pay her, but she tells them how many hours she babysat. She babysat on Wednesday evening and on Shabbos afternoon and on Sunday and Monday, and make a whole cheshbon. So if you're paying for the hours, the unit of time that you're paying by is smaller than Shabbos. You're paying by the hours, then it's not called Schar Shabbos Bahavlo. If you pay by the week, if you pay, let's say the babysitter gets paid $15 every week, because usually it turns out so many hours, so we fix the amount, $15 a week every week. Whether it's a little more, a little less, always $15 every week. So that's called Bahavlah, because you're not getting paid for the watching the baby on Shabbos. It's Char Shabbos Bahavlah, that's Mutter. So that's a big question. You look in the Shmir Shabbos Kavchasa, that's a big question. What is the nature of the prohibition of Char Shabbos? Why is it awesome? Some Achrayim say that even though babysitting is not a malacha, it's not one of the lamatas of his malachas, it should be mutter. But if they pay me money for it, then you're not allowed to. If I'm paid money for it, then it's like a malacha. So then it's only usher, schar Shabbos. It would only be usher if it's a Jewish person receiving the money. Because the Jewish person, the issue is you're not allowed to do any activity. Even though the activity is at the gomer, you're not allowed to do an activity for which you get paid money. Because you're salaried money, so it's like you have a job. You're working, if you in secular terms. In common sense terms, you say the guy's working, going to get paid a salary. So working is also on Shabbos. Not exactly. doing a malacha is asr on Shabbos. So we say, but the Rabbana working is also asr. But if it's a nachri, who's the babysitter, so then there shouldn't be any issa. The issa is chai Shabbos should only be if it's a Jewish person receiving the money. If it's a nachri babysitter, not a goyish babysitter, there shouldn't be a problem. And others hold that it's not so. That schar Shabbos is prohibited mid the rabbanim mishum mekach hamemkar, that you're buying the services, or yes, they prohibited mekach hamemkar on Shabbos because there is a meyichtov. You may, let's say, I'm going to make a kinyan, I'm going to sell you a sefer, I'm going to sell you whatever furniture. So we're going to make a kinyan on Shabbos. So there's a gzeri mid the rabbanim, gzeri shem meyichtov, mekach hamemkar is awesome mid the rabbanim, gzeri shem meyichtov. So when you sell your services, so the babysitter is selling her services, and the parents who are hiring the babysitter are buying the services of the babysitter. So to sell or to buy, is they're both included, the Mecca and Memka. So others hold that it's also in both directions. I think that both Rabbi Yanke Kamenetsky, some prominent Rabbanim felt that the Isser of Schar Shabbos is only prohibited if the one is receiving the Schar Shabbos is a Jewish person. But if the one is receiving this Schar Shabbos is a Nachri, then there's no Issa. I remember once one of the Rabbanim had a babysitter in the middle of the week, not on Shabbos. He had a babysitter in the middle of the week. And then the Goyisha babysitter wanted to come on Friday night to collect the payment. She wasn't babysitting on Shabbos, but she wanted to get paid. So the Shaila was, is he allowed to leave the money in a drawer? And when the Goyisha girl comes to his home, he'll tell her the money's in the drawer. You can pick it up and take it. So I thought that there shouldn't be any issa. I thought there's no problem. So we looked it up in the Mishnah Berurah, and the Mishnah Berurah says it's prohibited because of pareah chovo. That's a gemara in the end of Shabbos. Lifroa chovo, to pay up a debt, is usher on Shabbos and Yontav, also gzeirah shem yichtov. You may write down that I paid the debt. So not only is it also pareah chovo, if you hand over the cash, or let's say you're handing over cash is muktzah, you're handing over whatever, you're handing something over in payment, not only is that also midi rabbanan, even if I say the money is in the drawer, if you want, you can take it, that's also a violation of piron achov. Piron achov is also midi rabbanan, gzeri shem yichtov. Remember when we learned Sanhedrin, Rab Soloveitchik had a suffix, what if the Bezdin will force somebody to pay knas on Shabbos? To force somebody to pay mammon is an issa de rabbana pareah chovo. To force a person to pay knas, maybe that's an issa de raisa. Why? Because we assume that knas is an onesh. It's not an onesh aguf. Malkus amisa is an onesh aguf. Knas is an onesh mammon, but it is an onesh. There are many rise to that knas is an onesh. And the Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchos Shabbos, the Rambam lists off. The Rambam wrote the Sefer Mitzvahs by way of introduction to the Mishnah Torah. So first he lists off which are the Taryag Mitzvahs. Then the beginning of every section, he tells you how many Mitzvahs he's going to cover in this section. So in Hilchos Shabbos he's going to cover Zachar Shem Shabbos L'Kadshei, Shomer, Zachar means to say Kiddush, Shomer means not to do Malachas. And then he lists off not to go chutz l'tchum. The Rambam holds that tchumen is deraisa. Rabbi Akiva holds that apai mama, one meal, is tchumen deraisa. The Gemara said, we don't pass on like Rabbi Akiva. So the Rif at the end of the first parak in Erevin quotes the Yerushalmi that even though apai mama, one meal, is only derabanan, but yud base meal is tchumen deraisa. So Tesis doesn't accept that Yerushalmi. The Ramah paskins like Tesis. The Bavli never says a word about that, that Yud Beis Mil should be deraisa. So the Rambam paskins that all of Truman is only derabbanan. And the Mechaber follows the Rambam and the Rif and the Goinim. They all follow the Yerushalmi, that to go chutz l'tchum Yud Beis Mil, that's an Issa deraisa. Rabbi Kiba holds even one mil, even our Pai Mama is deraisa. That we don't accept. But Yud Beis Mil would be deraisa. So the Rambam counts. Allah al yetzi ish mekoma. You're not allowed to go chutz l'tchum is a deraisa. Then he counts another lav. How does the pasuk read? L'savaru eish b'chol mash v'sechem b'yoyim ha-shabbos. So what do you need a separate pasuk l'savaru eish? Havara, to make a fire or to throw logs into the fire, is one of the lametes of his malachas. So all the malachas are included. L'sasa kol malacha. So the Gemara says, Moshe Secha means Moshe Bezdin. One might have developed a Kal Vachomer, that the Gemara explains the whole Kal Vachomer, to demonstrate that Mises Bezdin should be Deucha Shabbos. Mises Bezdin, it's such an important mitzvah, should be Deucha Shabbos. So the Pasuk tells us, you're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for the purpose of Mises Bezdin. So the Rambam counts that as a separate love, not to administer Mises Bezdin on Shabbos. So the Magen Avraham, later in Hilchos Shabbos and Shin Lamites, at the end, there's a simonim with miscellaneous dinim in Hilchos Shabbos, very miscellaneous dinim, collection of miscellaneous in Hilchos Shabbos. So the Magen Avraham asked Kakash on the Rambam. The Gemara had a havamin. I would have mistakenly thought that Mises Bezdin is mutter to do on Shabbos, even though it's a malach of Netilis Nesham, you're going to kill a person. So we would have thought it's mutter because A is greater than B, B is greater than C, so A is greater than C. So since Mises Bezdin is Doicha HaKrobos Kol HaKrobonis, the Pasuk says, if a murderer ran to the Beis HaMikdosh to be saved, so it says in the Chumash, he's not saved. Even if he's a Kohen and he wants to be Makar Karbonis, you don't let him be Makar of the Karbonis, you take him and you give him the death penalty. So the Gemara says, the Pasuk says, you give him the death penalty, even if there's no other Kohen in sight, there's no one else around who's bar mitzvah. The Kohanim have to be bar mitzvah to do avodah. There's no Kohen in the world who's able to be makru karbonis. So you have a couple of months. You won't bring any karbonis at all. So Mises Bezdin is so important. It's decha kol karbonis kulam. And hakrabas karbonis are sometimes decha Shabbos. To meet him himself, I'm a decha Shabbos. So if A is greater than B, B is greater than C, A is greater than C. So if Mises Bezdin is more important than hakrabas kol karbonis kulam, and Karbonis Tzibur Adoicha Shabbos, so it should come out. The Mises Bezdin should be Deicha Shabbos. So the Pasuk says it's not so. It is not Deicha Shabbos. But the Magen Avraham asked on the Ram, why did he count this as a separate lav? I would have mistakenly had a Havamina to think that A is greater than B and B is greater than C. I would have thought that is Deicha Shabbos. You have a Pasuk that says, not Deicha Shabbos, not Deicha Shabbos, so it's an Issa Malocha. So he already counted the din that you're not allowed to do Malocha. So that's what Rabbi Nezer and many others have a whole explanation on the Rambam. The Rambam means to count, it's a separate law, shelo la'anish b'Shabbos. You're not allowed to administer any onshim on Shabbos. L'savaru eish b'chol Moshe v'secha. Moshe v'secha means Moshe Bezdin. Bezdin are not allowed to administer any onshim. Let's say they'll put someone in cherem. A cherem is a curse that the fellow should drop dead. And if he dies in another 25 years, we attribute the death to the curse of the Bezdin, and we say he's from Haruge Bezdin, and the family doesn't sit Shiva. Just like if someone was given the death penalty by Bezdin, Skila Sreifa Herik Chenek, so the Mishnah says the children don't sit Shiva, the relatives don't observe Avelis, because the Pasuk says, Bavod Rishayim Rina, when the Rishayim are put to death, he's supposed to rejoice. So the din is, in Shulchan Aruch, in Yeruday, the din is, if a person, Misha Meis Bineduya, Bezdin put somebody in Cherem, a cherem is a curse that the fellow should die. So even if it takes 25 years and he dies, Mishameis b'neduya bezdin soklam b'sarona, they put a slab of stone on his coffin to demonstrate that he really deserved skila, and the children don't observe avelus. So many achranim say that it would be an isa deraisa, according to the Rambam, it would be an isa deraisa to put a person in cherem on Shabbos Yantar because of lo sevar esh b'chol moshe sech. So Rav Soloveitchik raised the suffix, what about if bezdin will force the person to pay the knas on Shabbos? That's not an oinish aguf. Misa or malchus or cherem, that's an oinish aguf. Cherem is a curse, he should drop dead. So that's an oinish aguf. To make the person pay cash is tiltal muktze. To make the person pay not in cash is piron chov. Piron chov is an asim of the rabbanon, gzereshem meyichtov. But maybe over here there'll be an addition to the iser muktze, an addition to the iser. Piron achov gzeirish amich. There may be an isa deraisa of la savareish b'chol moshe v'sechem b'yom haShabbos. So that's a question. That's Rav Soloveitchik had a question about that. His question was not whether knas is an onesh. He assumed knas is an onesh. He was just misupik. Maybe this separate law la savareish shelo la'anish b'Shabbos. Maybe it only refers to onshe aguf. Maybe it doesn't refer to onshe mamon. But it is an onesh. But again, to other dinim, it is an onesh. Yeah. So we have a din that Schar Shabbos is Aser. Schar Shabbos Bahavloa is Mutter. What's an example of Schar Shabbos that it's Aser? We assume Schar Shabbos, there's a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch. What about Schar Shabbos b'makom mitzvah? Let's say the parents want to go daven in shul. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Shabbos, and they want to daven in shul. And the mother can't leave the baby alone, so she wants to hire a babysitter to enable her to go daven in shul. So that's really Schar Shabbos b'makom mitzvah. So Schar Shabbos b'makom mitzvah, we hold as mutter. Rashi holds that it's aser. The Gemara in Bava Metzia. The Gemara in Bava Metzia quotes Brisa about Schar Shabbos. So it says, you hire a babysitter, Lishmeres HaTinoik, to watch the baby. Or Lishmeres HaZroim. What is Lishmeres HaTinoik? A babysitter. So Rashi learns that it goes, they had an institution in the Bayesheni period that they used to ask for volunteers. Pregnant women would volunteer. They would be halfway through their pregnancy. There would be a little small area in Yerushalayim that was checked out, that there are no graves over there at all. And they would ask for volunteers which pregnant woman would be willing to live over here in this area that has vadai no tumas meis till her child is born and raise the child for a couple of years. We may need the child to do a paraduma. They introduce so many wild chumras in paraduma. And then the whole background is very fascinating. Rashi explains, I think, the beginning of Yuma, the first daf in Yuma. During the Baisheni period, they had a sichsuch, they had for quite a while, they had disputes with the tzedukim, who didn't accept Torah Shabbat Peh. So the tzedukim had kulas and chumras. Everything was different by them because they didn't accept Torah Shabbat Peh. So they had a chumra that when you want the hiza hatohar ala tome, if a person is a tome mace, so he cannot just go to the mikvah and become tohar. He has to get adam tohar to be mazer paraduma water on him, hazor shlishi shvi. And then only after hazor shlishi shvi, then he has the ability to go to the mikvah to become tohar. So it says in the pasuk, the hiza hatohar ala tome, and adam tohar has to be mazer the paraduma water on the anatomy. So what if the Adam Tohar is a Tful Yom? The Adam Tohar went to Mikveh, but he didn't yet have Hayar Shemesh. He went to Mikveh today, but he didn't have Hayar Shemesh yet. So the Tzedukim came up with a Chumrah that he has to be Tohar Lagamre. And if he went to Mikveh, but he's still a Tful Yom, he's not allowed to enter the Beis HaMikdash. Tful Yom is not allowed to eat Truma. He's allowed to eat Maaseh Sheni. A Tful Yom is allowed to eat Maaseh Sheni, even though you're not allowed to eat Maaseh Sheni in the state of Tumah. But a Tful Yom is Tohar Lagabi Truma. Tful Yom is Tohar Lagabi eating Maaseh Sheni. But he's not permitted to eat Kochim. He's not permitted to eat Truma. Not permitted to enter the Beis HaMikdash. So the Tzedukim during the Baisheni period had a Chumra that a Tful Yom is not allowed to be involved in Hazoas Paraduma, not allowed to be involved in the making of the Paraduma. The Chachamim disagreed and they said it's not correct because in that pasuk, the Hiza HaTohar Al Hatome, the word Tohar is spelled Chosavov, Teshe Resh. Normally it's spelled Teshe Vav Resh. How come it's spelled Chosavov? His Tahar is incomplete. He's not completely Tohar, even though he's still at Tful Yom, and he's not Tohar Benegat to eating Truma, nor is he Tohar Benegat to entering the Beis HaMikdash or eating Kachim, but he's a Mikzas Tohar, that's enough. So because the Chachamim disagreed with the Tzedukim, they went out of the way. The few times that they made, the Mishnah records historically, there were 9 paradumas. The first one was in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, and then over the years, and the 10th paraduma will be as Mashiach Vetkum, it will make a 10th paraduma. So over the years, during the period of the Baal Sheni, when they made a paraduma, the Mishnah says, Mitamin hoyo ha-kohen ha-saref ha-satorah, ha-sapara. The kohen who is involved in asiyas ha-sapara, the one who shechted it, the one who burnt it and everything, they would be metami akoyin. They made him go to mikveh, and they would have the tful yom. They went out of their way dafke to demonstrate that we don't accept anything that the tzedukim say, even the chumras we don't accept. So lest people have the mistaken impression that anything goes by paradum, you don't have to be so medaktek. The chachamim what did it kedei lahotzi melibam shalat tzedukim to demonstrate. We don't hold from anything that the tzedukim say. But what did they do? They introduced a big kula, and they did lemaisa like that. They were metame the kohen hasar for sapara, had him go to the mikveh, and had him dafke do make the asiya sapara in the state of being a tfulyom. So lest people get the mistaken impression that we're not so makbid about the tumah v'tara by para aduma, anything goes. So they introduced wild chumras. So they introduced one chumrah. You don't, the kalim that you use for the para aduma, klei glolim, klei adoma, klei avonim, which are not mekabel tumah even if you try. They're just not mekabel tumah, period. And then they introduced this wild chumrah of asking for pregnant women to volunteer to give birth to a child and raise the child for the first couple of years till he's 7, 8 years old. Once he's already 9 years old, then he may become a balkeri. Before the age of 9, the boy is a biyosabia. So before the age of 9, he can't become a balkeri because ain't biyosabia. After the age of 9, so he already may become a balkeri. So they would tell him, go to our regular school. We're not going to raise you here anymore. So most of them, the women who volunteered would have their babies there. They would raise the baby for quite a few years. They wouldn't use them for a paraduma. They didn't make a paraduma every year. On the whole history of the world, there were only 9 paradumas. So how many were there in the Baishan? There weren't so many. So Rashi learns Lishmar Satinaik means to watch the babies whom we're raising for the purpose of making a, possibly using these babies when they grow older to make a paraduma. So you have to pay them by the week or by the month. If you pay them by the day, then it's a violation of Schar Shabbos. It's only mutter for them to get paid b'havlo. Schar Shabbos b'havlo is mutter. So Rashi says b'feirish that even b'makam mitzvah, this is a makam mitzvah. Even b'makam mitzvah, you're not allowed to get Schar Shabbos or lishmar hazroim. Rashi learns also. Bezdin has to have someone watch in the Shemitah year when everything is hefker, so people are going to grab everything. So there may not be anything left for the Oimer and Shtei Alechem. So the Bezdin would appoint the Shomer. Lishmar is Hazroim is not a farmer, has a salaried farm hand to help him watch the farm. No, the Bezdin Agadol is salarying, giving a salary to someone to watch that the people don't grab all the peris and shviyas. If people come to grab this, tell them, the best nest you, please don't take it. We need this for the oimer. We need this for the shtei lechem. So that's also mokam mitzvah. So nonetheless, Rashi interprets in the Gemara that Schar Shabbos is also the mokam mitzvah. That's a tosefta that the Gemara in Bav Metzia quotes, that Schar Shabbos is osir, unless it's b'havlo. So if you get paid by the month or by the week, by some time period larger than Shabbos, then it's mutter. If you get paid by the day or by the hour, then it's Schar Shabbos Shalai B'Havlo, then you're not allowed to. In the OU, they have the problem. Let's say when they're processing wine. So they have to have mashgichim in the factory to make sure that the nochrim don't make the wine treif. So they have mashgichim. So mashgichim, it's 2 weeks or so. The whole thing is around 2 weeks, I think. So they're not allowed to get paid by the day, not allowed to get paid by the hour. If they get paid by the day or they get paid by the hour, then it's Schar Shabbos. It's a question, is that really considered Schar Shabbos b'makom mitzvah? It's a mitzvah that there should be so many wineries, so many goyishe wineries that have a hashgacha. We will have enough wine for all the Jews from Eretz Yisrael, from the Jewish wineries. In America also, there are Jewish wineries. Why do you really need? It's questionable whether it's a mitzvah. Probably not a mitzvah. Other hashgachas are a mitzvah because you need this kind of food on the hashgacha. But wine, there are a lot of wine companies, a lot of Jewish wine companies. So you don't really need more. The goyim want to make money. It's not a makam mitzvah. So the Mishnah Brura is machmer that it should be b'havloa. Not only they should get paid, they should get paid by the week or get paid by the whole job. They shouldn't get paid by the hour. They shouldn't get paid by the day. Havloa means you should start on a weekday and finish on the weekday. Let's say the whole job of the hashgacha in the winery is going to begin on a Thursday, but then it's going to end next week on Shabbos. So Shabbos afternoon, they'll be finished and then they'll leave. So the Mishnah Brura is machmer that it should be b'havloa. Shabbos should be swallowed up like havloa. When you swallow something, it's swallowed from both ends. The job shouldn't begin on Shabbos, it shouldn't end on Shabbos. It begins or ends on Shabbos. that it's a chumrah that we don't consider that Schar Shabbos b'havloa. Schar Shabbos is not only usur if the person, I do some activity, I do hashgacha work, or I'm a babysitter, something like that. Schar Shabbos is also, let's say, I'll rent an automobile to a nachri, and I'll charge him by the day. I'll charge so many dollars every day. So I'm going to charge him for Shabbos. Beishamai are of the opinion that there's an iser shvisas kelim. My kli, if I own a kli, my kli, I have to be, there's a din of shvisas behemto. That's a pasuk in Chumash. So let's say I'm a farmer and the next farm is an ochri. And we get along very well. So he allows me to use his kelim. I allow him to use my kelim. We friendly. But if I see he's going to use my behemah on Shabbos, I have to tell him you're not allowed to use, I have to stop him. You're not allowed to use my behemah on Shabbos. That's an isa, shvisas behemto. That's an aseres, that's ato behemtecha. Shvisas behemto is an isa. And the Gemara Nedarim has a din, it's called in the Shulchan Aruch. Let's say I rented my behemah to a nochri and he's going to use it to plow or to do malacha. And then I realize I'm away for Shabbos at a Shabbat Bracha, family simcha, whatever. Then I realize I forgot to tell him that he shouldn't use the behemah on Shabbos. I forgot to see to it that he shouldn't use it. I have no way of contacting him. In the days of the Gemara, they have no cell phone. How am I going to notify him that he should? How am I going to notify the neighbors that they shouldn't let the goy use my behemah? So the Gemara has a chiddush. I should be mafke the behemah for the day. There's such a concept of hefkel yomecher, hefkel isman. So I should be mafke the behemah for a day. For the day of Shabbos, it doesn't belong to me. So I'm not in violation. I'm shvisas behemto. But after Shabbos is over, then it belongs back to me again. So Reb Shimon Shkap has a whole essay about that. How does such a thing work? Hefkel isman. How can you work a kinyan isman? I makna behemah to you for a month. And after the month is up, it belongs back to me. How is there such a thing as a kinyan isman? So Reb Shimon has a whole kuntres mareches hakinyonim. Mareches hakinyonim on that topic. So everybody knows, they don't know all the detail. Everybody knows there's a din that Schar Shabbos b'havloa is mutter. Schar Shabbos usually usher. Schar Shabbos b'havloa is mutter. Schar Shabbos means also, if I rent out my behemah, and this someone else, the non-Jew, is going to use my behemah on Shabbos, that's a real serious issa. That's an issa deraisa shvisas behemto. So you have to see to it that he doesn't use the behemah to do malach on Shabbos. If I rent out an automobile and he's going to use it on Shabbos, so that we don't accept Bishamai's opinion. Bishamai holds there's an issa of shvisas kelim. So we don't hold like that. According to Bishamai, the Gemara asks, according to Beishamai, the Gemara asked the question, how can you leave your pot on the fire with your cholent? On Shabbos, your pot is involved in Bishul. The pot belongs to me, and it's involved in Bishul. How can I light candles in a candlestick? Candlestick is a kli, a container, and it's havar is taking place. The fire is burning, and my kli, according to Beishamai, there's no din. There is no such thing as shvisas kelim. But the Gemara asked, according to Beishamai, there's such a nisa deraisa. Learned that from a pasuk. Not only shvisas behemta, shvisas kelim. So how can you leave your pot on the fire and it has the soup that's cooking or has the chicken that's cooking? What about shvisas kelim? So the Gemara says it's self understood that you're mafke the pots. So since the pot doesn't belong to you, you're mafke the candlestick, the silver candlestick that costs hundreds of dollars. Everybody's mafke, it's self-understood. Everybody's mafke, the candlestick, in order not to violate shvisas kelim. According to Beishamai. We don't pass like Beishamai. So as far as we're concerned, you're not mafke anything. But that's all included in Schar Shabbos. If I'm going to rent, there's no issur shvisas kelim, but it's a problem of Schar Shabbos. If I rent the kelim out, so if I charge him $20 for the use of the automobile for a whole week, that's Bahavloa. Schar Shabbos Bahavloa is mutter. But if I charge by the day, it's $10 a day, and every day that you use it, you pay again. So Shabbos is going to be Schar Shabbos. That's also. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a discussion in his Chuvis. If you leave money in the bank in a savings account, and the interest is accumulated daily, the interest is calculated daily. So it means that I lent my money to the bank. that they should pay me interest for Shabbos. So why isn't that Schar Shabbos? Why isn't that a violation of Schar Shabbos? If they pay me interest every single day, so why isn't that Schar Shabbos? So Rav Moshe is assuming in the Kasha that it's like I'm like you rent an automobile and you charge per day. So you're renting your money to the guy and you're charging like schiris. Just like if you rent an automobile, you pay by the day. So you lend your money to the guy, you charge by the day. So Moshe answers, it's behavloa. Why is it behavloa? Because the banks calculate from midnight to midnight. So the part from Shkia on Friday afternoon till midnight is behavloa with the whole Friday. And the rest of Shabbos from midnight Friday night till Matzoi Shabbos is behavloa with Matzoi Shabbos till midnight. It's not behavloa at both ends, it's only behavloa on one end. So he says that's a chumra from the Mishnah Berurah, that it should be behavloa, should be balu on both ends. By the mashgichim who go to the wineries, so we try to see to it that it should be behavloa on both ends, the beginning and the end. But Rav Moshe says, over in the Ikar Adin, since everything is Bavloa, so it's Mutter. Then Rav Moshe says, what if you have Shabbos next to Yom Tov? So then it's not Bavloa. You have 24 hours that's either Shabbos or Yom Tov. So he says, but if you have 2 days Yom Tov in a row, so it's Mimanav Shav. One day is Kodesh, one day is Chol. It's not 2 days Yom Tov. So each day is Bahavloa. What if you have Shabbos next to Yom Tov? What if you have 2 days Rosh Hashanah? It's not a Sfeika Diyama, whether the first day or the second day. The both days are Kodesh. If you have Shabbos next to Yom Tov, it's not a Sfeika Diyama. You have 2 days in a row. So there is no Havloa. So Moshe has a Chiddush. He says, Anachinami, when you leave your money there for 30 years and then you take the money out, you should leave behind a few dollars, the amount of money that you earned that you didn't want to earn, that's you can't take out every penny of your savings account. You have to leave a couple of dollars there because every year there's 2 days Rosh Hashanah and every so often there's Shabbos next to Yom Tov. And so all of those days, you're not allowed to take the calculation. Now they don't give you so much interest in their savings accounts anyway. So you leave a couple of dollars and shine your Yotzi. But that's a Chiddush. That's questionable whether the kasha was a kasha in the first place. Rav Baruch Ber quotes Rav Chaim as saying that he doesn't agree. The classical poskim assume like Rav Moshe. Avnei Neizer and those before him, they all assume, just like if I rent a car, you have to pay me for the rental, for the use of my car. So if I lend you money, you have to pay for the use of the money. I have the right to charge money. So Rav Chaim Tainit, it doesn't make any sense. We pask a milva lo haitzor nitna. The moment that I lend you $5,000. The moment that I lend you the money is already yours. Not that I gave you permission to spend my money. The moment I give you the money, milva lo haitzor nitna, the money is already yours. So what right do I have to charge you for the use of the money? Using your own money. You're not using my money. So he said, not that I'm charging you for the use of my money. If I rent you an automobile, the automobile is mine. So I have a right to charge it for the use of my automobile. I rent you a tuxedo, the tuxedo is mine. I have a right to charge it. But if I lend you money, you're going to be using your money. It's not my money. So what right do I have to charge you? It's not based on schiris at all. So Rav Baruch Ber quotes Rav Chaim, it's not based on schiris. That's the din of matan mois. If I give you $100, so I can make up, you're mechuyev to give me back $100. I can say, I want you to pay me back 10% interest. I want back $110. I can lend you $100 and say, you have to pay me back $90. So if I say, you only have to pay me back $90, it's not that I was meichel $10. I wasn't meichel anything. Matan mois is a kinyan. When I give you $100, when I give you $5,000, that can constitute a kinyan. Just like if I give you $500,000, I can become a building. If the building is worth $500,000, just like Matan Mois is kind of karka, so Matan Mois is kind of shibudim. How much shibudim? Whatever you make up. So I can give you $100, say I want you to pay me back $90. I wasn't meichel anything. I made a kinyan matan mois. I gave you $100. And I said, I want a matan mois to be kaina. His chayvus of $90. Or I can say, I want a matan mois to be kaina. His chayvus of $110. The rib is because that's the kinyan matan mois. It's not that the $100 is the alvoy and the $10 is extra because of schiris. No, the whole thing is matan mois. So if you say like that, so when you put your money in a savings account, it's not that, and every day they pay you more, and they calculate it daily. The interest is calculated daily. It's not that the fact that they're using the money for another day is mechayev them to pay more money. No. The bank gives me a chart from day number one. If you put so much money in the bank, we obligate ourselves to give you back so much money. Like if I give you $100 and I say I want back $110. So the matan mois was kind of $110. Here the bank gives a detailed account. They say, right now, if you give us $1,000, we're going to give you so much interest. And then in the future, we may give you more interest, we may give you less interest. But it's really not that when Shabbos comes, when Yom Tov comes, they're paying you for the use of your money. It's not Schar Shabbos at all, not Schiris at all. It's all details of the kinyan matan mois. The whole chiyuv was chal when I gave the money to the bank from day number one. The bank agreed. The chiyuv to pay all of the money, the keren with the ribbis and the ribbis and the ribbis, everything was chal from day number one. The bank has a whole chart of depending on when I take the money out from the savings account, how much are they going to give me? But it's not that there's no chiyuv up schiris at all. So the whole issue of schar Shabbos doesn't come in at all. Yeah, so that's why others don't agree with the whole shayla of Rabbi Moshe. Why? There's no issue at all. If you have money in the savings account, it's not an issue of Schar Shabbos. If I would give him the money on Shabbos, if I would put the money in the savings account on Shabbos, there will be an issue of Schar Shabbos. Okay, but I don't put the money in on Shabbos. I gave the money on a weekday, and the bank promises they're going to pay me depending on how long I leave the money in the bank. So a lot of people make a mistake. They think that just like Havlo is a heter by Schar Shabbos, so to Havlo is a heter by Amira Lenochri. So they order a newspaper should be delivered, and they deliver the newspaper 7 days a week. How are you allowed? It's Amir Lenochri. He's going to bring the newspaper to my house specially. He's going to print the newspaper for me, and he's going to bring it to the house specially. So that's not correct. Schar Shabbos is Mutar b'Havlo, but Amir Liakum is not Mutar b'Havlo. If Amir Liakum is Mutar b'Havlo, I can have my business run as usual. The goyim will run their business on Shabbos. I pay them a salary for the whole week's work. They'll work 6 days a week, Monday through Shabbos, and it'll be b'havloah. So the answer is havloah is not a heter in Amir Liakum. When you want to order a newspaper, you have to tell them, I don't want the newspaper to be delivered on Shabbos. They tell you there is no such thing. So you have to tell them, but I don't want you to deliver. Okay, if they deliver, what can you do? But you're not allowed to, there is no heter of Amir Liakum b'Havloah. Havloah is only a heter in Schar Shabbos, it's not a heter in Amir Liakum. A lot of people misunderstand that. Here the Shulchan Aruch has, there's a din in the first perek of Masechet Shabbos. Eim afligim esfina somach l'Shabbos. 3 days before Shabbos, you're not allowed to go on a boat trip. What do you mean 3 days before Shabbos? So most of the Rishonim Shulchan Aruch says Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 3 days before Shabbos. Yet why 3 days before Shabbos? So the Baal HaMor quotes a Gemara in Gittin. There's a din with the Rabbanan that when you give a get, you have to write Zman. For the Gemara would appear that in our Torah, if a man divorces his wife, he doesn't have to write the date. It's only mid the Rabban. The Gemara has on Yud Zayin Aman Aleph and Gittin. Mipnei Maz Tiknu Zman Begittin. Why do they make the Takon of Zman? So it's a simple reading of the Gemara. Zman is only needed mid the Rabban and a get. So the Gemara said, the Zman that you need doesn't have to be so detailed. For example, we write what day of the week it is, what day in the Hebrew month, and what year it is, Libriya Sa'olam. You don't write what hour it is in the day. So what if you didn't even write, what day of the month? He just wrote B'chodesh Cheshven Shnas Topshin Pei Aleph. So, but he ever it's good. Well, let's say you didn't write exactly that it was on Tuesday. He didn't write Tuesday. he wrote, it was after Shabbos, Lebasa Shabbata. Or you gave the get Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, he wrote, Mikami Shabbata. So the expression Mikami Shabbata, the days prior to Shabbos, so the Gemara says in Gittin, you divide the week into two halves, Shabbos and Shabbos, then there's 6 days of Chol. So the 3 days before Shabbos, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, are called Mikami Shabbata. The 3 days after Shabbos, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, are called Lebasa Shabbata. So the Gemara says, if he gave the get to his wife on Wednesday, and he wrote, Mikami, I'm writing the get, Mikami Shabbata in Chodesh Cheshvin, Shnas Tavshin Pe'alach. So Mikami Shabbata means either Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. If he wrote Lebasa Shabbata, it means either Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. If it's the wrong day and he wrote, if let's say it's Tuesday and he writes Mikami Shabbata, so that's not true. He didn't give the get in the last 3 days. Mikami Shabbata only applies to 3 days before Shabbos, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. If he gives the get on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and he writes Mikami Shabbata, that's not correct. That's a false zman. So the Balamor learns in this Gemara that 3 days before Shabbos means Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, because that's called Mikami Shabbata. And already starting from Wednesday, you have to be concerned, are you going to be able to observe Shabbos? Are you going to get involved in an issue? That's how the Balamor learns. The Vilna Goen paskins like the Yerushalmi against the Shulchan Aruch Lahokel, that it doesn't mean 3 days before Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. He doesn't agree with the whole premise of the 3 days. He says 3 days include Shabbos. You're not allowed to go on a boat trip, eh, Mafliga Misfina. 3 days before Shabbos means Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. The whole Issa only begins on Thursday. It doesn't begin on Wednesday. Shut. What is the reason for the Issa? Why are you not allowed to go on a boat? So if, when you go on a boat, so the sailors are clearly going to be doing some halacha on Shabbos. So it should be Amir Liakum. You go on a boat. You're asking the Goyish fellow to do a malach on Shabbos. So if most of the people on the boat are Nochrim, and the Reiv are Nochrim, and the Miot are Jews, and they all ask the Goyim to do the malach for them, so that's considered as if he's doing the malach for the Reiv. It's not considered Amir Liakum, because he's doing the malach for all of the passengers. The Reiv of the passengers are Goyim. But let's say it's a pleasure, it's a pleasure cruise, and it's a Jewish cruise. All the people are Jewish, and they're going for pleasure, so they're paying the goyim, and all the passengers are Jewish. So it's amir liakum. So that you're not allowed to do. It's only mutter to go on a boat for pleasure. If they're going for business, that's a question. Why is it mutter? But to go for pleasure, you're not allowed to. It's outright amir liakum. The Dom Malach on Shabbos, and all the passengers are Jewish, so it's not Mutta. So we're talking, rover the passengers are Goyim, so the Goyim are doing the Malacha for the Goyim, not doing it for me. So what's wrong? What's wrong if I go on a boat within 3 days, 2 days, 3 days before Shabbos? So the Rishonim have three different interpretations in this Gemara, and Choshish for all the interpretations. But the Goyim, before the days of Rashi and Tosfos, the Goyim say, you have to figure out what's the reason for the prohibition. Whenever the reason doesn't apply, the whole Issa doesn't apply. Very often, most of the time you have in the Gemara, when the Chachamim made Gzera de Rabbana for a certain reason, so it's the Gzera applies even if the reason doesn't apply. That's called Dovsha B'minyan, Tzoch Minyan Achalat Tirai. If they made a prohibition years ago when they made the Issa, it made sense. We live in a generation where the whole prohibition doesn't make sense. It's not going to lead to an Issa. So we say that you still have to observe the Gzeira Derabban. So somehow it's questionable why the Goyim all assume that this Gemara in the first parak, the end of the first parak on Shabbos, Yud Zayinim and Aleph, Eima Fligim Misfina Gimel Yomim Samach L'Shabbos, depends on the reason. Whenever the reason doesn't apply, so the whole din doesn't apply. So the Rishonim have three different explanations for this. Some of them say because the boat is going to take you Chutz L'Tchum. Boat is going to go many miles on Shabbos. So you're going chutz l'tchum. You're violating this, you're going chutz l'tchum. So then they say, if that's the pshat, so the Gemara in Erevin has a suffix, are you in violation of going chutz l'tchum if you're l'mayla me'asar etfochim? The floor of the boat, normally, if it's a normal boat, unless it's a little canoe, a normal boat, the floor of the boat is way more than 10 tfochim above the floor of the ocean, of the floor of the river. So whenever you go on a boat, you're going to be lemaila me'asar tvach. So they interpret that the Gemara is talking about such a shallow water, and he's going in such a canoe that the floor of the rowboat is within 10 tvachim to the floor of the river. So the whole din doesn't apply to us. Who goes in such a shallow? So that's the one pshat. Some of the Rish Tegoinim interpreted that it's talking about a shallow river and the floor of the boat is within 10 tvachim to the bottom. If it's a big boat, an ocean liner, and the floor is way above you, tvachim, so there's no tchum l'maylim asar. That was an Ibai de Loiv Shita and the Gemara in Erev, and it went mekel on that. There's no tchum l'maylim asar tvach. The second pshat the Rishonim have is because years ago people would go on a ocean liner, they would get seasick, so they'll be throwing up. So you're not allowed to go 3 days before Shabbos, because after 3 days you get used to it and you won't be throwing up anymore. But in recent years they give you Dramamine, so you can control that, so you're not going to be seasick. And the boats are so pleasant, you don't even need the Dramamine. So whenever the seasickness is under control, so then it would be mutam. It's also mutam. And the Balamor has the third pshat in the Gemara. Balamor has a famous interpretation. He says that 3 days, he learns that it's 3 days, the way it says in Shulchan Aruch, not like the Vilna Gaon, it's only 2 days, Thursday and Friday, 3 days. And he's the one who quotes that Gemara in Gittin, that Sunday, Monday, Tuesday is called the Baso Shabbata, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday is called the Kami Shabbata. And the Gemara says in Brachas, you can say Havdalah until Tuesday night, because Sunday, Monday, Tuesday is Matzoi Shabbos. So it's in Halacha, not just in Loshem Bnei Adam. The Gemara in Gittin has in Loshem Bnei Adam. If you wrote a get, instead of writing the get was written on Tuesday, you wrote Lebaso Shabbata. Instead of writing the get was written on Thursday, you wrote Mikami Shabbata. So in Loshem Bnei Adam, Baso Shabbata means the first 3 days after Shabbos. Kami Shabbata means the 3 days before. So the Balamor says it's not only in Loshem Bnei Adam. It's in Halacha like that. You can say Havdalah until Tuesday night because that's called Baso Shabbata. And what's the Halacha of Mikami Shabbata? So he says 3 days before Shabbos, you have to already start worrying, are you going to fall in? Are you going to be Mechal Shabbos or not? So he says there's a far out chance. I don't know, in recent years we have boats. I don't know if this ever happened. There's a far-out chance in the days of the Tanoim, there's a far-out chance that there'll be some kind of a sakona on the boat, and the sailors will request of some of the passengers or all the passengers to help them navigate the boat, and they may have to do malochas on Shabbos. So if the boat mafligim esfina, when do you take off? So if the boat leaves Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, you're not mechuyev to be concerned about this far-fetched chashash that you may get involved in chilul Shabbos. But if the boat is going to leave 3 days before Shabbos, Wednesday, Friday, that's mikami Shabbata. So just like Baso Shabbata is a halachic consideration, you can say havdalah till Tuesday night. So 3 days before Shabbos is mikami Shabbata, has halachic consideration. You have to already be worried and make sure you're not going to lead to chilul Shabbos. So that the Balamor learns, that's why you're not allowed to, it's because nefesh is decha Shabbos, but you're not allowed to put yourself in a situation where you're going to be in a suffix sakana that you'll have to be mechal Shabbos. The Pashta says, if because nefesh is, there's a big machlokes in the Rishayim, the Rosh in the end of Yuma has the machlokes, and it's a discussion in Shulchan Aruch. When because nefesh is decha Shabbos, is that decha Shabbos? Or they say Shabbos is hutra. The Shabbos, the chuyo Shabbos is hutra. So what's the difference? So if it's duchuya, you should try to avoid it. If it's hutra, whenever there's pikuach nefesh hutra, it's heta gomer. So here the Balamor is saying you should be careful, try to see in advance, not to get involved in chilul Shabbos. The last 3 days before Shabbos, you should try to see to it. You shouldn't go on a boat trip because you may have to be mechal Shabbos later. So the Balamor seems to hold perhaps that it's only duchuya. Shabbos is duchuya because of pikuach nefesh. The Gemara says you bring tamidim u'mesafim on Shabbos. That's hutra. Shabbos is hutra, and a bris milah on Shabbos is that duchuya hutra. If it's milah bismana, that's a machlekes halacha lemaisa. The mechaber and the ramo with an afkamina ledina and hilchas milah. And whether pikuach nefesh on Shabbos is duchuya hutra, that's also a machlekes harishanim. You have to try to avoid it, or no, it's hutra hetagama. So you don't even have to try to avoid it. So the Gemara said, this din, that you're not allowed to go on a boat within 3 days before Shabbos, but if he's going l'dvar mitzvah, then he is allowed to go, even 3 days before Shabbos. What it means, he's going to dvar mitzvah, he's going to learn in the yeshiva. He's moving to Eretz Yisrael. He's moving, he's going on Aliyah to move to Eretz Yisrael. What if he's only going to tour in Eretz Yisrael for a couple of weeks and he's going to come back? So the Magen Avraham quotes a machlokes from the Knesset HaGdola, where the touring Eretz Yisrael is also considered a mitzvah, because the Gemara says, whoever walks Dalan Amos in Eretz Yisrael, Nimcholem Aben Oysel, he gets a Mechilas Avenus. So maybe that shows that walking Dalan Amos is already a partial Kiyam HaMitzvah. So that should also be considered a Makam Mitzvah. So that's a machlokes. Is that enough of a mitzvah to walk Dalan Amos? He's going to Eretz Yisrael for 1 day, then he's going to leave. So you say, to visit Eretz Yisrael, to walk the Lamas is also a mitzvah. And b'makom mitzvah, you're allowed to go on the boat 3 days before Shabbos, even though you're going to be seasick. And even though you may get involved in Chilul Shabbos and so on, everything is still mutter. So some hold to walk the Lamas a mitzvah. Some hold it's only a partial mitzvah of Yisha Eretz Yisrael if you stay there a minimum of 30 days. And some say you have to stay a minimum of 12 months. The Gemara in Bava Basra and the Gemara in Sanhedrin has that some dinim depend on the person living in a location, living in the city for 30 days, and some dinim depend on the person living in the city for 12 months. So those are the three shittas here. When you go to visit Eretz Yisrael, do you say it's a partial kima mitzvah if you're going to walk Dalet Amos, even though you're going to just stay for less than a day? Let's say people go for Kfuras Ameis. A parent dies, so they go to Eretz, so they go for less than a day. So some say that's already a partial Kiyam Mitzvah. He's going to walk Dalet Amos. Others say, no, it's only a partial Kiyam Mitzvah. He's going to stay at least 30 days. And others say it's a partial Kiyam Mitzvah. He's going to stay at least 12 months. Let's say a person is going for a sabbatical. He's going for a year to Eretz Yisrael. A student is going to learn there for a year. So you can either make a ticket to stay for slightly less than 12 months, slightly more than 12 months. So you should arrange it as slightly more than 12 months, because according to some poskim, you only have the partial Kiyam Mitzvah if you stay 12 months or more. Or let's say he's not going to stay 12 months. He can either make the ticket to go to Eretz Yisrael for slightly less than 30 days, or slightly more than 30 days. So some poskim hold 30 days is the cutoff point. If you stay for a little more than 30 days, then there's a partial Kiyam Mitzvah. Stay less than 30 days, not even a partial Kiyam Mitzvah. So that's a discussion the Magen Avraham and the later poskim discuss. Magen Avraham quotes it from the Knesset HaGdola. Knesset HaGdola is a likut on the tour of all the achrenim. The Beis Yosef is a likut of all the rishonim that he had available, and the achrenim up until his time. The Knesset HaGdola was later. Then the Chidor wrote more Birkei Yosef. He has more of a likut of achrenim on Shulchan Aruch. So that's the question: when is it considered a makom mitzvah? Maybe Billy Netta will say, this is a rich topic, maybe we'll save the rest of the discussion for next week. Okay. In this week's Sedra, in the beginning of this week's Sedra, Sora Imenu passes away. And Avraham Avinu had such respect for his wife, he wasn't going to bury her in the regular Beis HaKvaris. The halacha says you're not permitted to bury Jewish people, live differently and they die differently and they're buried differently. He said, not allowed to bury Jewish people in the Beis HaKvaris of the Nochrim. Rav Soloveitchik said that his grandfather, Rav Chaim, was of the opinion that if a Jewish person is buried in a Goyish cemetery, Shaloi Kedin, a Kohen is considered a Meis Mitzvah. And if the only one around is a Kohen, the Kohen is permitted to be Mitami to the Meis, even though the Beis is buried. That's considered a Meis Mitzvah. He's permitted to be Mitami if he's the only one around, to take the mace out and to bury the mace somewhere else. He said the other contemporaries of Rav Chaim didn't agree. They said it's only called the mace mitzvah if the person is not buried at all. But if he's buried in a Goyish cemetery, that's a bizoyan mace, but that's not enough to be considered mace mitzvah. He said his grandfather Rav Chaim held that it's so serious, that's even the Kohen is metami, that's considered a mace mitzvah. And we learn out kicha kicha misdei Ephron, that just like Avraham Avinu purchased the Moros HaMachpelah by paying cash, Arba Meir Shekel Kesef Avela, so he paid a lot of money. So too, when you get married, you can be Mekadosh and Isha, Ayideh Kesef. Ayideh Kesef. Rabbi Hirsch, Rabbi Samson Reshul Hirsch has a beautiful essay where he says, why are the Chazal learning out from Avraham Avinu? to show that when a Jewish couple gets married, the husband should honor and respect his wife, just like Avraham Avinu honored and respected his wife. Even after she died, he spent a fortune and money. Not only while she was alive, even after she died, he spent the fortune and money to have a separate Beis HaKvaris to be mechabed his wife. So the Pasuk has an interesting expression. You have to have permission from the municipality to make a new cemetery. You can't just put a cemetery whenever you want. Like, you need permission from the municipality to make a house of worship in the middle of a residential area. So you have to have permission to put a cemetery. The Moris HaMachpel, in the middle of Hebron, middle of the city. So he requests from the Bnei Ches permission, so they gave him permission. They said, B'mivcha kvareina, kvaris meisecha, will give you the most fancy location. He says, no, we live differently, we die differently, we're buried differently, we have to have a separate Beis HaKvaris. So he tells him, Ge b'tosha v'nochi imochem, tunu li achuzas kebe. He wants to buy a different cemetery for the Jewish people. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash on that Lashon, Ger v'toshav, is a contradiction in terms. If he's a ger, he's not a toshav. So Rashi has an interesting comment. So Rav Soloveitchik used to say, and he published a whole essay about this, that the Jews in this world are like Avraham Avinu. We are ger and we are toshav. We are toshavim. We work along with all the Umas Olam and with all the Nochrim to try to find a cure for cancer, to try to find a cure for the coronavirus. Everybody, the doctors in Eretz are working, doctors in America, Germany, England, doctors all over the world, everybody's working together, try to find a cure, to try to solve economic problems of the world, try to solve poverty. We're all working together on everything. And at the same time that we are Toshav, we are Gerim. We have totally different interests that the Nochem will never be able to understand. We're interested in doing mitzvahs and kabbalos on Malchus Shamayim, that our Kodesh Bocha's kingdom should be recognized by the Umas Ha'olam. Totally different interest in the whole world. Rav Soloveitchik said he remembers that his grandfather, Rav Chaim, had a lashon. There are long, we may have mentioned it recently, there's some bridges are longer than others. The George Washington Bridge goes over to New Jersey. It's not such a long bridge. Sometimes you have even shorter bridges than that. I remember when we were touring Poland, so I think the bridge outside of Kovna, I think the tour guide, the girl who's our tour guide, told us this is the longest bridge in the world. So we didn't know what the joke was all about. She said, does anybody know why? We didn't know. So she explained, because on one side of the bridge it's Wednesday, the other side of it is Thursday, because they followed a different calendar. So it was a different day of the week. So when you get from one side of the bridge to the other, the day is different. It only takes 5 minutes to get to the other side of the bridge. But according to the Din of the Machusa, it's a different day of the week, a different day of the month, or something like that. That was a joke. So Rav Soloveitchik said he remembers hearing from his grandfather, Rav Chaim, you can build long bridges and short bridges. There's no bridge in the world that's long enough to bridge the gap between a Yisrael and a Nochri. They're totally different, totally different. In one sense, we are Toshav. We work along with the Olam Mesalem. But in most of the things in the world, we are ger. We're totally working with different assumptions, and we're interested in different things from the Umas Olam. That's why he said we should only join together with the Nochrim on medical issues, on poverty, on social problems, these kind of things. Anything that has to do with Hashkafa, we can't discuss with the Nochrim. When the Catholic Church wanted to have conversations with the Jews, so Rav Moshe and Rav Soloveitchik both signed a letter encouraging the Rabbanim and the RCA they shouldn't meet with the Catholic clericals at all. We have nothing to discuss in common. It's a totally different outlook on the world. We are ger, we're totally ger. At the same time, we're ger toshav at the same time. These parshias are very important. I remember Rav Soloveitchik told over this story talk on Parshas Chayisara. He said that, what was the name of the wealthy? I forgot the name.
Rothschild?
Yeah. When Rothschild died, Baron Rothschild, he was the original Rothschild was in Germany. But his grandchildren lived in France. So when one of the Rothschilds died, so he left instruction, wanted to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. So de Gaulle was the president of France at that time. He was furious. He said, what do you mean? He was born in France. He made all of his money in France. He was educated in France. He died in France. His whole life he lived in France. He's not going to let them take his body to be buried there. So he's going to bury him in France. It's a bizoyen. It's a busha. It's an insult to France. His whole life he spent in France. So got the Geholfen. There was some kind of a war going on in Eretz Yisrael. So there were extra flights, El Al flights, not scheduled flights, to bring people who volunteered for the army, for the Israeli army, to help fight in the war. I don't remember, it was every other year there's another war in Eretz Yisrael, unfortunately. So on one of those unscheduled flights, even though de Gaulle had control, and they said they shouldn't allow their family to take the Oren to Eretz Yisrael, but they took his body to Eretz Yisrael on one of the unscheduled flights. So the government didn't know about that. So he was buried in Eretz Yisrael. So he says, even though he wasn't that observant, he wasn't that observant. Nonetheless, he knew that the place for the Jews is in Eretz Yisrael. He was born in France. He was educated in France. Everything took in France. He hardly visited Eretz Yisrael. But he knew Eretz Yisrael is the Jewish place. The Jews live differently and were buried differently. Everything is different. That's an important clown. The Jews have to have a separate base for us because Ger v'tosha, we are gerim. So we have to have, everything has to be different. We'll lay down, and next week we'll continue on this topic about this Balamor. This is a famous Balamor. Rav Soloveitchik had a lot to discuss on this Balamor. Okay. Everyone should be healthy, and we'll get together next week.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Very good.
Thank you.
Good.
Shikach Rebbe.
Welcome to you.